If you will, find the passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let me read that to you. It says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which or we must be saved by it." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this place. And I accept my role and my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys. Thank you for being here too. I mean that. I'm going to deal with our two core values of our church today. I don't want it to feel like a seminary class or even new member training orientation, but I always at the first of the year remind people of our two core values. The first core value is that we connect people to Jesus. And then the second core value is we live out our biblical, or live out your biblical story. And you're going, we just have two? Yes, because a lot of people have 10 core values and they can't remember all 10 of them. So I'm going to make it easier on you and just wrap it all up into two core values, which is connecting people to Jesus and living out your story, your biblical story. I just want you to know the verse that we just used, Acts 4, 12 and 13, as far as leadership here and our belief, it's non-negotiable that the only person you can be that can save you is Jesus. That's a non-negotiable issue. And that's the first place we want to move people. Even in your regular conversations with folk, just start moving the conversation to Jesus. Start moving them to Jesus. Like, this is where you need to go. You need to go to the Lord. And I mean, when you're just having casual conversations that turn into spiritual conversations, what do we want to do? We want to be able to send people to Jesus. Real quickly, let me give you something from the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to work it backwards a little bit. The Holy Spirit is always leading people to Christ. He's always going to point. You can go in the movement of the Holy Spirit. He's going to move you to Christ. And in moving you to Christ, he is acknowledging that this is the Son of God. He is who he says he is. He has the power to save. We find this specifically in the Gospel of John, where it says the Holy Spirit will remind you, Jesus says this, will remind you of all the things that I have taught you. So it's going to be pointing back to the person of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is how we are saved. He's our Hosanna. It won't be long, thank the Lord, till we have a warm Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. And Logan and I, we asked for your forgiveness because the title of the first song was called Forever Rain. And we was like, you know, just a different kind of spelling on the rain, right? I can't wait till that warm Palm Sunday. It's already in my head there in April. But when we see that he's our Hosanna. He's the one who is sent to rescue us. That's what they shout to him on that Palm Sunday. For all the things that you have done. Salvation comes through Christ. Christ is always pointing us to the Father. Always. Where do we pray? We pray to the Father, but we go to him through Christ. Christ is our avenue. He's our passageway to be able to go to the Father. There's a lot more mystery to the Trinity than I'm giving you right now, but I just want you to be able to see in a very basic deal that the Holy Spirit is going to point me to Jesus. So let him use our conversations to be able to do that. I didn't hear Andrew's sermon when he preached for me that Sunday, but I got a feeling we're connecting on that just a little bit. At least I hope we are. That let our conversations, we're about connecting people to Jesus. I want to send them to Jesus. I trust Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. And that's where we move people. I want to bring this up because this came out of my childhood. Actually, I was in college. There was an evangelism conference going on in Elizabethtown. I was at school at Campbellsville University, and my dad lived in Western Kentucky, Providence area at the time, Webster County, if some of you know, just the other side of Madisonville. And So dad's like, I'm going to be there at that conference. Can you come over and see me? Let's have lunch together. Well, I did. And I saw him. He goes, come to the evangelism conference with me. And I wasn't really excited about that, to be honest with you. But I said, okay, I will. And there were these brothers, Angel and Homer Martinez out of Kentucky, out of Texas, I'm sorry. And one of the brothers was preaching. But he gave this statement, and this statement on that day, when I was kind of halfway there, you know, I wanted to see my dad. I didn't really care that much about the evangelism conference, but the Lord put this in my, it stuck with me. He put this in my life, and this is the saying that many of you all have heard, but when we see people, we see them one or two ways. One way we see them is it's someone that Christ lives in or someone that Christ died for. And I know those end in prepositions, and that's not proper when it comes to grammar. That's just the way they said them. And I can remember that hitting me as a young man. I wasn't even thinking about ministry then. We see people one or two ways, someone that Christ lives in or someone that Christ died for. We get so mad at people today real quickly because we think that people are our enemy. And Paul very clearly says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of the air, demonic forces. Don't forget 1 John 5:19. The whole world is under the sway of the evil one. So I don't, even though I can disagree with people on topics or even belief systems or whatever, I don't see them as my enemy. I see them as one or two ways. In one of the two ways, I see them as Christ is already living in them, or then Christ has died for them. And that's the way I try to live my life. I try to lead you to do that. I'm so thankful that he put that the Martinez brothers shared that with me, even as a young man. So I want to give you some passages of scripture that talk about people who just came to Christ in a normal way. I'm talking real ordinary way. And then how they came to Christ and then they lived out their biblical story. All right, I want to walk you through that, and we're going to do that with scripture. John 1:40-42. This is about Andrew. I don't really know if Julie named our Andrew from scripture, but he certainly has followed these principles in his life. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John the Baptist. Okay, John's preaching. He sees Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So Andrew has been hearing John the Baptist preach. He's been there and heard him and followed him. So he started really leaning in to what John the Baptist was preaching about. Go to verse 42. It said that we there? Thank you. Thank you, girl. And he brought Simon to Jesus, his brother. And when Jesus saw him, he said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means rock. So just in a very ordinary way, Andrew just went and found his brother and brought him to Christ to follow him. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. I want you to go on and look at another place in Scripture about Andrew, John 6, 8 through 11. This is the story where Jesus is teaching, and there is the feeding of the 5,000 or 10,000, if you count the wives and the children, and they say maybe even more than that. And they're debating over what's going on, how these people are here and they're hungry and we don't have enough money in their little disciple treasury. They don't have enough money to be able to buy all the food. And it even says that the Lord was testing them, like, how is this going to happen? To see where they were believing. And so one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, he said, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? It's not that big of a deal. Then Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. So they sat down, and the men numbered about 5,000, which we're counting women and children can be a greater number than that. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, and as much as they wanted, they ate it. But as you need to know that they ate it, they ate all they wanted, and all the 12, the basketfuls came back with more left over. What's the point here? The point is that Andrew just simply, in a very ordinary way, brought a boy and his lunch to Jesus. And it turned into a biblical story, right? Yeah. Now you're going to go, well, Andrew's one of the disciples. Lord's leaning into him a little more than he's leaning into me. That's not true. I've got to learn and tell myself over and over. I want to pray about. Last night I was just really heartbroken over the flooding of, and it's not just in our state, but especially Eastern Kentucky getting hit again. And I'm going, man, can these people catch a break? And I even said to the Lord last night, I don't even know how to pray for them. Do I just pray, get them through the night? Do I pray that it quits raining? What do I pray? How do I pray for this? What's going on here? And then I was able to start praying in a way that I felt the Lord led me to pray for them, especially relief and people, getting connected to where they need to be connected, giving them wisdom on where and when not to drive. And I mean that very simply. Don't go into areas that you can't go into. You don't know, and some people lost their lives doing that last night. But it's a very, here's two examples of Andrew, very ordinary things. He brings a brother and a boy with his lunch to Jesus, and it becomes an incredible biblical story. And you're going, well, what becomes the great story of his brother, Simon Peter? He became one of the greatest preachers of the New Testament. How many places have you been where a guy got up and preached and 3,000 people were saved and baptized? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a day of 3,000 people being baptized? Don't go thinking one guy is going to do it all. Can you imagine? Peter became this great preacher for the Lord. And even though he went to a time of denial, he became one of the greatest preachers of the New Testament. May I remind you that they crucified Peter and to kill him. But he made a request to be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified upright like Christ. So he followed deeply. So we're talking about Andrew bringing a brother, Andrew bringing a boy with just his lunch, and it turned into something greater. Andrew in Scripture is always found bringing people to Christ in a very ordinary way. Let's go back to John 1 for a moment, verses 43 and 51. We'll just walk you through these. So this is where Andrew had just brought his brother to Christ. So the next day he decided to leave for Galilee. Jesus found Philip and told him to follow me. Next verse. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter, close by. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And next verse, and so Nathanael's like, "Nazareth, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked him, and Philip said, "Come and see," was his answer. And then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here is a true Israelite, no deceit is in him." And then Nathanael's going, "Well, how do you know me? We've never met. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. And he said, "Teacher," Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe only because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than this, Nathanael." Then he said, "I assure you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So one way that Nathanael was brought to the Lord is he said, "I saw you underneath the fig tree." I don't know about you today, but this hits me. This is the part that hits me, is that sometimes you think the Lord doesn't even know you are around, right? That you don't even exist. You're not part of the plan. He's not noticing you. I just want you to know this little story of Nathanael, that he saw Nathanael before Nathanael ever saw him. That he saw him, and he's like, "I saw you in that." I don't know about you, but some of the most unbelievable times of assurance are when I can look back over my life and see areas of it and go, "God, where have you been?" Only to let him reveal to me through his Holy Spirit and his word that I've been with you all along. And it's there. It becomes that he does notice us. He does see you. And I just want you to see Nathanael. He told Nathanael, "You're going to see great things. You're going to see heaven poured out. You're going to see my angels. You're going to see my mission and my work." All because Andrew simply brought his brother in a very ordinary way, pointed him to Christ. He didn't make his brother believe. He just ordinarily brought him to Christ. And we got Andrew bringing a boy and his lunch to Christ. We know the miracle of that biblical story. We've got Nathanael coming, you know, through the introduction of another person, but very ordinary, coming to Christ. And it just becomes incredible to see the biblical story that is happening. Yesterday, we went to an indoor, thank the Lord, soccer match for one of our granddaughters, Gwen. And so we were there at the Lexington Athletic Club, and we're watching her play. And so after that game was over with, it ended up, somebody comes and pushes me. Another, "Hey, Brother Jeff." And, you know, I'm thinking I'm in Lexington. I can get away from here a little bit, you know. It ended up that Ellery Milburn is there, his daughter Mary Beth, and you know that Julie, his wife, recently passed away with cancer. By the way, they're honoring Ellery this afternoon at Sand Spring. So if you know Ellery and you see him, he's retiring. So he's doing really well as he can do right now in just coming out of the death of his wife, Julie. And so there was it ended up being Mike Burford was there. I saw Mike. We had a crowd, and I was like, "Well, we can just have church, you know?" But it ended up being, I could tell a story in each person's life that came up to me. And I could tell a biblical story in each person's life that came up to me. Then we go to the food court to eat. And then who's walking 17,000 miles at the food court other than T and Cord? And they come up to our table. There's another biblical story. And I just want you to know, since you asked that question to the congregation on the video of the baptism, it scares me sometimes that you go ask me something, you know, and I don't know the answer to it. She even called him out, didn't she? She said, "Piper, well, you know." So we're there, we see T, and there's a whole story sitting right here in these two rows, just because they come to Christ. Can I go on? Can I go row by row? Can I tell a story? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We connect people to Christ because they need to be saved. There's no other way they can be saved. But you know what follows? A great biblical story. A story that God tells the world through you. He's going to tell you his story through you. Remember, it's his story through you. You just give confirmation to it over and over and over. So where do we go when tension of life is there, when there's trials, when this world is sin sick and it affects us? There's temptation filled through all this world. Peter declared at a time when some of the disciples, not the 12, but the others were leaving the Lord. This is in John 6, if you ever want to read it. He said, the Lord says to him, where are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter responds, where are we going to go, Lord? Because you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? Where are you going to go? I don't need earth's worldly wisdom that much. I'm not saying I don't need to go to school. I'm not talking about higher education. I'm just, the world's wisdom and philosophy draws me away from the Father. I need to counteract that and go to the Father. But I go to the Father because I have Jesus. And I have the Holy Spirit who's connected me to Jesus, who connects me to the Father. You know, like the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone. You know, you got it? So they're all working together in us. The Holy Spirit's always saying Jesus can do what he says he can do. He's always acknowledging the Son. The Son's always acknowledging the Father. The Father's always giving credit to the Son. And the Son is always saying the Holy Spirit is the voice of truth. And it just goes back and forth any way you want to go. And we have to realize that, where do we go when we have these tensions? What is in us that makes us want to live independent of God when we can live dependent on God? So live out your biblical story. Live it out. Go tell his story. I'm going to tell the stories and the God stories of people in Scripture. About there are stories in there about in Scripture about people who are incredibly faithful. And there are stories in there about people who are incredibly unfaithful. And we learn from both. The Lord has a story to tell through you and me, through us. And it's a story of his faithfulness. His faithfulness and then ours. I go back to Acts 4, 12 through 13 for just a moment. And I remind you of where all this begins. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. I want our lives, yours and mine, I want them. What are we going to do? We're going to bring people, we're going to connect them to Christ in a very ordinary way. Just even, have you ever tried praying to the Lord about that? You know, we feel easier going, well, you need to talk to the preacher. Right? That's fine. You can come talk to me. But then what am I going to do? I'm going to connect you to the Lord. Why don't you just go ahead and bypass that and tell them to do that? We connect people to Jesus in our casual conversations and in our lives. And then we see how people live out their biblical story. Out of all these stories, don't forget, Andrew took a boy with a simple lunch. And he brought him to Jesus. And we have one of the greatest miracles in Scripture. That can happen with you and that can happen with me. When you connect people to Jesus, amazing things happen. And when you live out your biblical story, we have a story of his faithfulness, his power. And it's an enduring story. It never, ever stops. Go to the Lord and then tell your story. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. I pray we learn just very simply this, that there have been people in our lives through private prayer, through spiritual conversations, actual just real confrontational intervention that have walked into our lives and pointed us to you. And we are grateful for those people. No matter how awkward or uncomfortable some of those times were, have been, it was all a connection to you. Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus. He is the person and the only name by which we can be saved. We can't work it off. We can't impress you, please you by our works. It all comes by the work that you've done for us and the grace that you have given us, the mercy you have given us. Salvation can only come through Jesus, and we thank you for him. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. It leads us continually to Christ, the words of truth, the voice of truth, that the Lord is who he is and he does what he does. In a very simple service today, Lord, we present our lives to you. Use us for your glory, for your will, your honor, and that we have a story to tell the world of what you have done in our lives, of where we were, and where you have brought us. And we say thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Team's gonna lead us. Counselors, come down here with me. And then you respond, you come.